welcome to episode 464 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm Josh Pollard.
And I'm Richard Gunther, and this is the show where we talk about consumer digital entertainment technology. Did we miss a week? It seems like it's been a while for some reason.
We didn't miss a week, at least not that I can think of.
Have you been ignoring me this week? Is that what it was?
I don't think so.
Well, I'm glad we're back. We're back talking about the stuff that we love, and we have some listener feedback questions, actually, from a listener on the other side of this big ball of dirt that we live on.
Right. Talking about the stuff we love with the people we love, no matter where they are, including Australia. So we got an email from Pete in Australia. He sent that to entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. And there's really two questions here. One big part of it is in response to the big conversation we had last week, and then another one later that I hope Richard has read and prepared for, because I don't know the answer to it, and I bet he does. So let me get into this. He says, I'm a longtime listener from Australia and have learned so much from Entertainment 2.0. So first, thank you for your weekly podcast. No, Pete, thank you, because if you didn't listen, we wouldn't do it. He says, in Australia, we have virtually only one cable provider, Foxtel, that costs $100 monthly for the full premium service, which I have paid for over 25 years. I pay more, for I have three boxes for three rooms. You must use their box, so there's no alternatives like HD Home Run, which only exist in the USA because of government regulations, I believe. That's not exactly true. Yeah, I mean, the HD Home Run is in a lot of places, but for cable, yeah, I think, well, actually, that's not even true, because I think Europe has some other cable standards that HD Home Run does make tuners for, but maybe it's not the same stuff that they're doing down in Australia. Anyway, he says, so I have tried the streaming services. I have had Netflix for over 3 years, but there are many shows not available in Australia. So I feel your thoughts regarding ethical piracy in episode 463 would be different if you did not live in the United States. Amazon has finally come to Australia, and more recently, Amazon Prime, which I have joined. Finally, my questions. I have, we're going to say Echo devices, and listen to all of my music using Spotify. Yesterday, I asked A to play Don McLean songs. He says he's more than 70. That must be why I have no idea who Don McLean is. I bet Richard does, though. And she played them on Amazon Music. Do I need to be paying for Spotify if I'm a Prime member? That's the question for you, Richard. So we'll be right back to you. This is an ethical question relating to episode 463. Foxtel, my cable provider, tells me that a movie I really want to watch will be available in 3 months' time. I get it now, by illegal means, and watch it. Am I a bad person just because of a time difference? I justify it by saying I've been paying $100 per month for 25 years. Doing the math, that's $30,000 to a cable company that has been paying some of my money to the movie moguls for years. Please tell me I'm not a bad person. That's from Papa Pete. Anybody who signs their email Papa Pete, I can't call you a bad person. Not with a name like Papa Pete.
Yeah, no, you can't. You can't be a bad person if you go by that. But I mean, this really gets to that question of what you're comfortable with and what your ethical concerns are with regard to copyright and digital IP. For me, I wouldn't do that. It pisses me off that you have these windows where movies are not available. But I also recognize that that's part of the business model for a lot of these movie houses. That's how they make their money, by making something unavailable until the time that there's so much pent-up demand that they know that they'll make more money on it. So as much as I don't like it, I know it's how they work, and I wait for the process to work out and make it available to me. Not everybody's willing to do that. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not willing to judge. I just know it's not something that I would do.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's the thing. Like, I joked that I'm never going to call somebody named Papa Pete a bad person. I'm not going to call, well, just about anybody a bad person, especially for this. Like, the thing is it illegal? Yes. I'm saying yes. This is against the terms of service and all of that stuff. And Pete himself admits that. You know, he says that what he does there occasionally is illegal. Yep. Does it make him a bad person? Who am I to judge? It's not my job. I don't get to judge. Sorry. Josh, so I'm not going to answer that.
I broke the speed limit today.
I break the speed limit every day, Richard. Exactly. Exactly. We all do things we shouldn't. So I'm not going to call Pete or anybody else a bad person for their piracy stuff. So we definitely don't need to get a whole bunch of messages in from listeners saying, well, here's my reasons. Does it make me a bad person? I'm not going to call any of you a bad person. So I just wanted to have the conversation we did. I have late breaking live listener feedback before you get to your question.
Okay.
We have another piece of listener feedback that just came in. Okay. This is a text message.
All right.
From Jen, my wife, who's listening.
Wait a minute. She's only listening to one half of the conversation, though.
It's okay. You'll understand why. So she's in the other room, and in all caps, she texts me. Don McLean wrote and sang American Pie. Are you even an American?
Wow. That's harsh.
I know
harsh.
That song. I just didn't know who wrote it.
That's harsh. Okay. Well, now I feel better because I know who that is before I answer this question. So his first question was, does he have to have a paid Spotify account, even if he's a Prime member, to use Spotify on the Echo? And I think, unfortunately, the answer is yes. But there are two things going on here. One is that by default, when you set up an Echo device and ask it to play music, it is going to play music from, surprise, Amazon's music service.
Right.
If you want it to play music from some other service by default, you need to tell it what that other service is. So go into your menu in the app that goes by her name, so I won't say it, and under music, select the service that you want to use as your default for playing songs. You get to choose a default radio service, and you get to choose a default song service. You may be able to select the Spotify service, but I think you need to be a member of Spotify for that to work. Not entirely sure. As a Prime member, you get access to all kinds of Amazon music for free. So that may end up working out okay for you. If you want more information on how to set those default music settings, we actually have a post about that up on the DMZ, and we'll put a link to that in our show notes.
Awesome. You know, that doesn't surprise me. Just tonight, I was reading a little bit about some Spotify stuff that we're going to talk about a little bit later. It sounds like with Spotify, their whole Spotify Connect thing, which allows you to play Spotify audio through other devices on your network, I think that's also only available to Spotify Premium subscribers.
Yep, that is
so
correct.
It's probably tied into that. So yeah, I think you're probably right there in guessing that it does require a Spotify Premium subscription to do that.
Yep.
All right. Well, thank you, Pete, for the message. We always, always appreciate listener feedback. And if you'd like to send us some for the next show, you can do that by emailing us at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com or just use the contact form on the website. All right. Let's move on to our video news. Guys, this is going to be a pretty light show in terms of news. And here's a little bit of a spoiler for you. If you hate gaming news, boy, are you in luck tonight, because there's none. There's none.
Well, okay? That's not entirely true. There's very little.
Well, we're going to talk about deals and stuff. But outside of that, There's no news in terms of gaming. So cool. All right. So let's jump into some video news. Even this is a little bit light, but this one is kind of cool. And I think kind of a big deal for the video, especially movie streaming ecosystem. Was this last year or was it this year's Apple event where they announced their new 4K Apple TV? They talked about how they would upgrade everybody's HD movies to 4K where they were available. And when that got announced, we said on this show, well, when is everybody else going to start doing this? Mm-hmm. Well, the answer, at least from Google Play, is now, right about now, they're going to start doing this. I can't really verify this because I don't think I've purchased any movies from Google Play. I opened up my Google Play app to test this out because I think you do have to go into one of your Google Play movies and TV apps on one of your many Android-ish devices. And it sounds like you're going to get some sort of prompt to do this, but maybe not. For me, I've got a whole bunch of movies that show up in there, but that's because of Movies Anywhere. You know, I've got movies that I've purchased from other providers that all show up when I open up Google Play Movies and TV. So I don't have firsthand knowledge of how this works exactly, but apparently it does. Now, Richard, you've been through all of this with the Apple ecosystem. Was there anything weird to it? Did you have to do any extra work?
I didn't have to do anything, but it took me a while to figure out what was going on, because one of the things that happens is that movies that are available in 4K that you own, whether you bought them through Apple or through some other system and they replicated via Movies Anywhere, if they're available in 4K, they show up as 4K when you bring them up on screen. The problem is that when you play them, unless you actually redeemed a 4K movie through Movies Anywhere or bought it as HD and it was upgraded from iTunes itself because you bought it in iTunes or you redeemed it initially in iTunes, then it's not really 4K. So it's very confusing the way they have those listed. But what I eventually have just come to redeem everything through Movies Anywhere, and they're usually pretty good now about if you buy it in 4K, then it gets redeemed in 4K. But anything that I bought in HD is in 4K now. If I bought it in iTunes, if I redeemed it in iTunes, if it's available, and that's great. So it just happened. I don't have to do anything. I don't have to say, do you want the 4K version? It's just what plays. So hopefully that is how Google is also going to do it, both on the in any application where you might play your movies on, like Google TV, or otherwise in the, I guess it's the YouTube application that you can play your movies that you buy from Google for a lot of ecosystems.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that's not it here with this announcement. They're also, and I think this is also similar to what Apple is doing now, for all intents and purposes, the 4K versions of movies cost the same as the HD versions. So when I was browsing through the store, I saw 4K new releases for around $20. Like some were 18, some were 20. Some of the older ones I saw, like I looked up Crouching Tiger and it was $13 or something for the 4K version. I think The Matrix was right in that same price too. So I think this does mean lower prices for digital copies of 4K movies. And that's great news.
I think it does too. However, they're still going to rake you over the coals for rentals. They're still going to use that tiered dollar more system for standard HD and 4K rentals that they have been using. And remember, the titles that you just mentioned are catalog titles at this point. So they are going to be a lot cheaper.
For sure. Right. But I was seeing rentals kind of all over the place. I think the Matrix 4K rental was only $3.
Again, catalog.
But most of the other ones were like $6.
Right.
And I don't remember how much that compares to what the HD rentals were.
I mean, what I'm finding is that the rentals are usually 4, 5, and 6, depending okay. on how many pixels you want.
Got to pay for them pixels, right? And then they're also working to support 4K streaming to more television sets. They're specifically working with Samsung and some Sony Bravia TVs. But if you want to watch this stuff in 4K on your TV and your TV itself doesn't support it yet, currently your options are a Chromecast Ultra, which is that $60 Chromecast, or a 4K Android TV box. So like the NVIDIA Shield or some of the other less popular ones. So that's how you get to watch this stuff in 4K. And all right, that's it for our Google Play news. Let's move on to the other video story. Roku OS 9 appears to be rolling out now. It had been previously announced that it wouldn't start rolling out until November, but it's almost November, so let us get it early. There's some really nice new features coming with this update. The first one is Google Assistant. So, being able to use your voice remote with Google, I think is what that means. I always get a little confused by these assistant add-ins, whether that means that I can use the voice remote thing here or use Google Assistant through my Google Home speakers and have it control my Roku. There's always a little bit of that stuff going on, but Google Assistant is here now, and that's always a good thing to have more voice assistant support with these devices. Spotify, as I teased a little bit earlier, it finally comes. I think this is finally returns to Roku. We had talked about that a few weeks ago, that it sounded like Spotify had left Roku. Now it's back, and that's full Spotify support, including if you have premium, being able to do like the Spotify Connect thing, which I just love. I absolutely love Spotify Connect and being able to open up the Spotify app on my phone, find what I want, and then just pick the device that I want it to play from. And with the new Roku OS 9, you'd be able to pick your Roku devices, which are probably, hopefully, maybe hooked up to a pretty nice home theater system too. So that's where it's going to sound the best. We've also got Pandora Premium. I'm not a big Pandora user. I think they've had regular Pandora for a while. So it sounds like they're adding Pandora Premium, which is their, of course, their paid version, which gives you, you don't have ads and all of that type of stuff.
Well, I mean, it gives you on demand, right? Because Pandora otherwise is simply radio stations. So Pandora Premium is giving you the ability to have on-demand access to individual songs.
Right. More like Spotify and stuff like that.
Right.
Yeah. And then the other cool one, and this is more for your video consumption. Some people will think this is cool. Some purist will hate this. But this is a super practical feature. Auto volume leveling. That means that this is really useful at night. So like you're watching some videos, and especially if you're switching between a lot of videos and stuff, sometimes they'll be quiet, sometimes they'll be super loud. And so you're constantly fiddling with your volume. With auto volume leveling, it kind of makes it all about the same, so that you're not like waking up the kids because now there's some super loud video that just started, or the opposite, where now you can't hear what someone is saying. So that's of course an option. You don't have to turn that on because some people won't want it. But I think a lot of people would actually find that type of feature pretty useful.
It is kind of nice. And they actually have two different separate modes, if you will. There's the standard leveling and then there's night mode. Night mode is going to do a lot of what you were talking about. But standard leveling also addresses the problem that we solved with broadcast a couple years ago through legislation, where advertisers were blasting you when they came in during the commercial breaks. And then you would go down to just a quieter sound when you went back to the program. And so you were constantly adjusting the volume and it was annoying. And in broadcast, you're not allowed to do that anymore.
Right.
However, in streaming, there's nothing that prevents anyone from doing that. So we're seeing that crap happening all over again.
Yeah. Yeah, unfortunately.
And this will fix it. this will normalize that volume. So it all seems to make more sense, which is good stuff.
Yeah, it's usually a good thing. I mean, the thing to look out for will be, is the dialogue still, like, can you still make out the dialogue clearly? Because that's what can get messed up in this stuff. They start raising the volumes of things that aren't people talking, and it muddies up the talking.
Yep.
Roku's pretty good at things, so hopefully that won't be an issue.
Well, and you know what? I mean, that's an issue even with high-end systems in multi-million dollar homes, right?
Right.
This is a big problem with just how audio in general is processed. And just today, on one of the conversation boards where I participate, there was a conversation about how do we solve this problem? And the easy answer is jack up the center channel. Like, right. That's the easiest way to solve this problem. It's the least expensive way to solve the problem is jack up your center channel. Because a lot of times, like I was watching Doctor Who this past weekend, and we couldn't hear anything they were saying because the background music was so friggin' loud.
Mm.
And it's just ridiculous. And so you can kind of compensate for that. And not all systems are really good at automatically determining what that center level should be anyway. So set it to what works for you.
Right. And actually, one of the things that I did read about Roku and all of their audio processing stuff is they do have a mode for this, because the human voice exists in a fairly limited audio frequency range. And so they just bump the EQs to handle that. You know, you turn up the frequencies that are in the human frequency range, and you turn down the other ones. It's not that complicated.
Which is really good unless the soundtrack is a chorus.
Right. Yeah, that's not going to work out so well. All right, that's it for our video news. Let's briefly jump into gaming. Again, no actual news here, so just a quick hit on the deals that are going on for Xbox and PlayStation. Even the sales this week aren't really that great, but because it's almost Halloween, both stores are having Halloween-related sales going on. I honestly didn't find the Halloween-related stuff all that interesting from the Microsoft side, but maybe that's because I'm not super into horror games. But man, one thing I can tell you, just about every Resident Evil game that's ever been made is on sale for sure. So maybe go there. So I wanted to pick a game that wasn't a scary game and is still a really good deal. And that is DMC Devil May Cry Definitive Edition. So that's, you know, this game with all of the DLC for $9.90. Dirt cheap, a ton of content in there, a really good third person action beat 'em up game. You know, I've talked a lot about Nier Automata. It's kind of like that. It looks really cool. I've never actually played one of these games, but of the people who have gotten into Devil May Cry games, this is supposed to be a pretty good one.
Cool.
On the PlayStation side, their regular weekly sale, there was literally nothing in there that caught my eye. Nothing at all. But they do have also their own huge Halloween sale. So if you're looking for something scary to play and you're a PlayStation person, then go and check that out. I just can't make recommendations on games that I don't play. So not going to make a scary game recommendation when I'm too chicken to play them myself. And we kind of went through all the games with gold and the free PlayStation Plus games last week. So we don't really need to go through those all again, but we will have the links in the show notes if you want to double check to make sure that you've got all of the ones that you want. And Richard, that's it for our news, that's it for our news this week.
That is crazy. This is going to be such a short one. I can't believe it.
I can't explain the lack of news, but that means that you get a little bit more time to talk about all the things that are going on in your entertainment center.
I don't have a ton to talk about. So a couple of things. One, on the hardware side, I mentioned last week that my internal LG drive that I was using for backing up my Blu-ray discs and my 4K discs was no longer working. I talked to a representative at LG. They confirmed that it is no longer working and they are going to replace it. And they are supposedly sending me a return label that I haven't yet received. So I don't know what the holdup is there.
Don't they normally email those?
Yep. Waiting still. Huh. So I may have to call again. I don't know. But yeah, they said that they would replace it. It's within warranty. So that's good news. Next thing from the hardware perspective is with all of the great reviews that people are posting, and Rycrist probably had the first one out at CNET, along with some demonstration videos. And I know that Dave Zatz over at Zatz Not Funny just posted something this week as well about the new Echo Dot and how much better it sounds than the original Echo Dot. I had to have one. So I replaced the Echo Dot in my kitchen. And it has good things and bad things. The good thing is that it does sound way, way better. And it is also much louder, which is a good thing because it was just kind of like this quiet little tinny speaker before. The bad thing is that it seems to be less good at hearing me. And I don't understand why that is. Supposedly, they have an enhanced mic array. It's fewer microphones, but supposedly it's better than the last version. But it doesn't wake up as easily as when I triggered it before. In fact, when it does wake up, it's slow. So I'll trigger the Echo and I'll hear the one like a room away come on before this one acknowledges that it's listening.
That's frustrating.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going on there. Hopefully it just needs a firmware update or two and maybe some cobwebs cleaned out of its ears or something. I don't know. Weird.
So have you done a sound comparison between the new Dot and the Google Home Mini?
I haven't, because they're kind of on opposite sides of the house.
And they're so big and heavy and hard to move.
Okay, I get your point. But honestly, I know that from all of the reviews, I know that they're going to be very similar. But I don't ever use my Google Home to listen to audio. Mm-hmm. Like, I will actually pair my phone with the Amazon Echo that's in the kitchen and listen to podcasts through that occasionally, like while I'm cleaning up or feeding the dogs or whatever. But I don't ever do that with the Google Home. The Google Home just sits in my office basically as a test device. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't use it as a real assistant.
Would you actually, like, you say that the new Echo Dot does sound a lot better. Would you use it for listening to music? Because listening to podcast is one thing, but listening to music is entirely another.
I wouldn't. I mean, I might leave a radio on in the house for the dogs on it, but I wouldn't listen to music on it. And yeah. I don't need to.
Right.
But I wouldn't. Now, that said, you can now pair two of those things together and hook them up with a sub. And supposedly it sounds pretty good. I don't know. I haven't tested it. I know Dave was talking about it over on Reset. Maybe that's something he might try and set up in his kitchen. So I'll be curious to hear what folks who have tried that think of it. All right, that's it for hardware. On the content side, I have been still trying to catch up on stuff. I am up to date on Shameless. They just had their mid-season finale. That season has been good. It's been a really good season with them, so I've been enjoying that. I mentioned that in addition to This Is Us, I was also watching NBC's follow-on heartbreaking show, New Amsterdam, and I'm still enjoying that as well. Keeping up with Game of Thrones, we're recording another episode of Let's Talk About Thrones tomorrow night. And of course, the usual sitcom, The Superstore, Modern Family, I'm catching up on that. I've been a little behind. They still managed to keep that show funny. I don't know how they do it, but they've done a good job. And Big Bang Theory, Doctor Who. I have definitely been enjoying Doctor Who, although I don't understand why they moved it to Sunday. Makes it harder to watch when I want to watch it, so I'm almost always going to be a week behind on that. And I don't think that I mentioned this last time, because I don't think anything but the... Well, actually, I don't know that it had been on yet. The Roseanne show, Roseanne, was kind of resurrected by ABC as a new show without Roseanne called The Conners. And it is the whole same cast without Roseanne Barr.
How does that work? Did they kill her off?
That's exactly what they did.
Oh, wow.
They killed her off from, and this is no secret. This is actually, you know, they've been promoting this. They killed her off from an opioid overdose.
Oh, man.
And we knew from the end of last season that she had been hiding pills around the house for pain. So they managed to work it in a way that completely made sense. It didn't come out of nowhere. And they did it in a way that was not preachy. And I was worried that this cast might not be able to pull this off, but it was a really good premiere episode for this new show. So I will probably continue to watch this. And that's good, because I have one less half-hour show to watch, since Murphy Brown was just terrible. And I won't be watching it at all anymore.
Dang. It must be really bad for you to give up that quickly, because you don't give up on shows.
Yeah, no, it just really bad. I've also been trying to catch up on Better Call Saul. I lost steam on that. I don't know why. I got about three or four episodes in and I lost steam. So trying to catch up on that. I think that season has completed now, so I have the rest of that to catch up on. And that's pretty much it for me. Now, the other thing that, you know, I mentioned this when this happens, because this bugs the crap out of me, but this just happens every once in a while, depending on how I'm spending my time or what I'm doing or if I'm traveling or whatever. I am, again, a month behind on podcasts. 1 month. Like, literally today is the October 23rd, and I'm listening to shows dated September 23rd.
Oh my gosh, Richard. It's okay to skip.
No, it's not.
It is. It really is.
You totally don't have OCD.
Especially when they're news-related things, and it's not news anymore.
Yeah, but so the news that I listen to is all still kind of relevant because it's tech information, or, you know, I listen to Marketplace, and that's more of a show where I learn about the economy than actually get news. So, yeah. Anyway, I'm trying to catch up. I'm not doing a good job, but I'm trying to keep up. Hopefully, in a month's time from now, I'll be able to say that I'm all caught up, and I'll have an opportunity to do that, because I have a way long flight ahead of me in a couple weeks when I travel over to a European country for a week.
Yeah, that's... But are you going to listen to podcasts on the flight? Like, you're going to be watching movies and stuff, aren't you?
I don't know. It usually, I do try to listen to podcasts when I'm in transit, like walking around in airports and getting on, and taxiing, and before I actually get to sit down and, okay, now I'm going to watch a movie or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or hopefully sleep, which I'm just so not good at doing on airplanes. So anyway, that's what I have been watching. And you can keep up with that stuff if you're interested on the TV Time app. And I'm there as R. Gunther. Josh, what are you watching? What are you playing? What's going on in your entertainment center?
All right, well, let's just get the obvious ones out of the way. Penguins hockey, lots of college football on Saturday, a lot of college football on Saturday. And it was a glorious day for college football on Saturday. Oh, so great. Anyway.
I guess your teams won.
It was more about which teams lost. Yeah. Ohio State got embarrassed by an unranked team. It was fantastic. But yes, my team's
also
won.
That's so hateful.
If you lived in Ohio, you would understand why I hate Ohio State.
Ouch.
Yeah. Yeah. I give you crap for the Washington Capitals all the time. I don't hate the Capitals anywhere near as much as I hate the Ohio State Buckeyes. It's not even close. It's not even close. Yeah. Anyway, so for gaming, of course, played some more Call of Duty Black Ops 4. It was a double XP weekend, so I had to, right? And then also, finally, got started on Life is Strange 2, which we're, of course, playing for the Story Players podcast. Haven't quite finished that up. The plan is that I'm going to finish it up this week. We're going to record next Monday, so hopefully late in the week, next week, if everything goes well, that episode of Story Players will be ready for you all. I won't say anything else about Life is Strange 2 right now. And then in terms of watching stuff and all my stuff that I use for that, The Good Place is the only show that I'm trying to keep up with. I mean, that's not true. I would like to keep up with other shows, but I just haven't been able to. The Good Place, using Plex DVR to record this over the air. I mentioned last week that I gave up on its commercial skipping, and I still had a problem this week. It recorded what seemed like the whole episode, but it stopped at the end. Like, there was still stuff happening in the scene when the recording stopped. And I'm like, what is going on with this thing? So I went into the Plex DVR schedule to see when the next one is coming up. And it's Thursday nights at 8:30. It's a half hour show. In the schedule, it shows starting at 8:30, ending at, you might expect, 9. Nope, 8:59. Why? Why? I didn't tell it to stop a minute early. All of the other shows in my schedule show them stopping when you would expect them to be stopping. But The Good Place stops at 8:59. The only thing I can think of is that it's funky guide data. But that still doesn't make a whole lot of sense. So this time I went in and just modified the whole series recording to just say, give me an extra couple of minutes on every episode. And hopefully, finally, I'll actually see the little cliffhanger things that happen at the end of every episode. Instead of having to go and talk to a coworker the next day who can show me the last 30 seconds on Hulu.
That's so weird. I usually get that problem with shows like Doctor Who or other stuff that I'm recording on BBC America. But that's usually because BBC America shows are like weird times, like an hour and 10 minutes or an hour and 15 minutes and stuff like that.
Right. Yeah, not your standard 30-minute sitcom.
Right. Which nowadays only has like 19 to 20 minutes of content in it anyway.
Right. Yeah. So continuing down that road, Richard, I know you're using Plex DVR now for some. I don't know if you're using it as your primary DVR. Are you?
I am splitting time with my DVRs like I usually do between TiVo and now Plex.
So if you're going to sit down and watch live TV, which I imagine you probably don't actually do all that often, but if you were to sit down and watch live TV, what would you use?
TiVo.
Okay, that makes sense. So for me, I have the option of doing live TV through Plex on a couple of different devices or through the HD Home Run app on a couple of different devices. Right. And I'm not exactly sure why, but I always, and this occurred to me as I was tuning into college football this weekend, I always pick the HD Home Run app when I'm watching live. But if I'm DVRing anything, I use Plex. I don't know why I'm doing that, but that's how it works in my head.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. If anything, I might argue that the Plex grid experience is better for live TV than that tile fly-in bar mess that HD Home Run has going on.
I wouldn't go so far as to call it a mess. It definitely has some aspects to it that make it really useful. It doesn't cover up as much of the screen, things like that. But, you know, I think the big thing for me is that I know that if I'm using the HD Home Run app, I don't have to worry about transcoding. It's just give me the stream. I don't have to wait for any transcoding or any buffering or any of that. It's just, bam, give me the stream.
Right.
Maybe that's why. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense. So is that it? That's what's going on?
That's it. That is it for me.
You know what that means? That's it for us for this week.
Crazy. Absolutely crazy. Shortest show in a long, long time when you and I have both been on.
Yeah.
All right. Well, if you would like to get a hold of us, we're available in a lot of places. We're on Twitter. Richard is at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard. And the website is at DigiMediaZone, D-I-G-I MediaZone. We're also on Facebook at facebook.com/theDMZ. And we've got some other podcasts for you to listen to. Assuming you're not a month behind on your podcast and are looking for new things to listen to, you can check out Richard's other show, Home On, covering the latest smart home stuff. What's going on with Home On?
I do know that I have listeners who are weeks behind on podcasts because I get questions and comments on past episodes like all the time. So it's not just me. All right. This is a thing. I just want to make it clear. I'm not the only one out there with this problem.
Whatever you have to tell yourself, Richard.
The latest episode that we have of Home On is the episode where I had Jamie Siminoff, the founder and CEO of Ring, come back and talk with what's going on in their world now. They're a much different, much bigger, very different company from who they were when I first spoke with Jamie 4 years ago. So we had a great conversation, and I hope you'll get a chance to listen to that. Coming up, you know, there's a whole lot of stuff that happened in these past couple of weeks. Google came out with a ton of product that we need to talk about. I attended the Smart Kitchen Summit, and I'm trying to get the audio from my panel there, but I don't have it yet. So still trying to figure out what is going to be in this next episode, but it should be out in the next week or two.
Cool. And then with Story Players, I already mentioned that what's next for Story Players is Life is Strange 2. So the most recent one that is currently available is our episode 2 of The Walking Dead, the final season. So you've got those if you're looking for some story-driven video game coverage. And then we, of course, invite you to come and actually participate in the show while we're recording it. You can do that because we record the show live. We use Mixer, but it's super easy to get to right on the digitalmediazone.com. There's a big live button. You just click that. It takes to the page. You get the video, you get the audio, you get the chat room, and it's a ton of fun. The schedule's been off the last few weeks. We've been more around 9 p.m. Eastern. We're assuming some other stuff doesn't happen, we should be heading back to our normal 8:30 p.m. Eastern time frame. But your best bet, just follow us on Twitter. We always tweet about when the show is going to be happening live, and we hope you'll join us next time, because that's going to do it for episode 464. He's Richard Gunther, and I'm Josh Pollard. Thanks for listening to Entertainment 2.0. Adios.
Goodbye.